When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 144, and we are recording on Tuesday, January 10th. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Kendra. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How's your 2023 been going?
Well, it's a lot has happened. Well, our new director started at her job last week, so I am no longer interim director, which is a relief. But aside from that, I Marie Kondo'd my closet,
nice.
Which was very exciting. Got rid of multiple bags of clothes, some for donations, some for recycling, and my closet feels very empty. I have been going through, I've been watching Parks and Rec from the very beginning for the first time in my life.
Wow.
I know. So many people around me, they're like, what do you mean you haven't seen Parks and Rec? I'm like, I don't know. And my husband started watching it. I'm like, all right, I'll watch it. And now I'm like, oh, I love it so much. So, yeah, that's kind of, I'm like, yeah, settling back into a less intense workflow. I watch Parks and Rec when I come home and I cleaned out my closet. So far, so good. What about you? What has 2023 brought for you so far?
Well, lots of corgis running in the mud so far. It's been raining here, so we're doing that. But I am still unpacking from moving back to the upstate. So I've been trying to consolidate and like get rid of stuff to because we don't have as much storage. So it's taking me a bit longer, but I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff, which is nice. Or sending it to other people or finding new homes for it or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, I mean, that's really been the summary. I am just working and trying to relax because moving, as everyone knows, is stressful. And then we immediately went into the holidays. So for the first time since September, I feel like I'm able to relax a little bit.
Yeah, it's odd because, yeah, for me coming back from or coming down from a super, super intense workflow at work that was just consuming like every thought in my head, whether I was at work or not, and now going back into the role that I had previously, I was like, oh, wait, I've got like time to kind of just sit and not have to worry about stuff. This is weird.
Right? You feel like guilty that you're not working on something.
I know. And I mean, maybe that's, I mean, I think that's part of the reason my brain was just looking for something to seize onto. Like, I've got to be doing something. So it picked just reorganizing and, you know, getting rid of a lot of clutter because our apartment's not very big. And while I am not nearly as clean of a person as my husband is, like, I can tolerate a fair amount of clutter and stuff. So when I start saying, I think we got a lot of stuff going around here that we need to get rid of, like, you can take that to the bank. And so I'm just like, I am going to capitalize on this newfound energy and just kind of run with it and see how far it goes, because I don't usually have that energy. So I'm not... I don't want to let it slip past me. So that's why, yeah, this weekend I told my husband, I'm like, okay, today I am Marie Kondoing my closet. And he just kind of looked at me like, okay. I'm like, I need to do this. He's like, you do that. You do that. And yeah, so now my drawers are like, I got rid of like 2/3 of the stuff in my drawers. Everything's folded all neatly. And I'm like, oh, so now I like this evening, I think I haven't gone through my shoes yet. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go through my shoes and get rid of some shoes that I'm not wearing anymore. And it feels good.
You know, I feel like the new year, everyone fusses about like, we don't need New Year's resolutions. But for me, they're more like achievable goals. And I'm like, okay, so for this achievable goal, I want to hang up these shelves so that our traveling mug collection can have a home. I feel like that's a good goal for the new year.
That, yeah, when you were like, achievable goal, and I was like, what's that? But I'm like, oh, that is simple. It's concise. Mm-hmm. It's limited.
Organizing my pantry, you know, that's a great goal. I want to unpack my TBR because that is the last set of books I need to unpack. Now, I say set. It is over 10 boxes of books, but they're in the laundry closet right now because we still don't have a washer and dryer because they're backordered, apparently. We did not know this. So anyway, so they're living in there right now, so I can close the door and not look at them, but I need to move them out so, you know, so the washer and dryer can be delivered because with muddy corgis, laundry is important.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I would just be so upset if I had to wait on a washer and dryer. Like, that was when we moved into the subdivision that we live in now. It's an apartment complex subdivision, but one of the big draws was that each unit had its own washer and dryer. And I'm like, I'm not sure where we're going to end up after we leave this place, but I'm like, we have to have our own washer and dryer. I will not settle for anything less.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't had any since we moved in November. And so we have been either going to a friend's house. They do have like a laundromat on site in this complex, but one of the dryers is broke. So that's been exciting. But I feel like we've been thrown back into college, you know?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So I'm just very grateful that we only have about 2 weeks left to wait. So theoretically, next time we record, they should be here or on their way.
We'll celebrate with the sound of the washer and dryer running in the background.
Oh, my word. You are so right. I already have to turn the air off because the AC unit is right next door. And yeah, my goodness. But anyway, very excited to chat about new books with you today. It's one of my favorite times of year when so many different lists come out. So I'm excited to put out ours.
Yeah, no kidding. Before we jump into that, whether new book or not new book, have you been reading anything the last couple of weeks or have you just been chasing after the corgis?
I've been doing both. I audiobooks, you can chase corgis and read. I've been reading a lot of large books. Like I read David Copperfield. Wow. So I could read Demon Copperhead and understand what was going on. But I actually just finished Age of Vice by Deepti Kapoor, and this is out from Riverhead Books, and it is a sprawling crime drama set in Delhi, India, or New Delhi, as it's now called, and it is this, man, it's like this accident, and Mercedes is speeding along the road on the outskirts of town. It hits a bunch of people, five people die, and so this man, Ajay, is taken and arrested and accused of the crime, but we suspect as readers that he didn't actually do the crime. Then we rewind back to his childhood, we're introduced to him, his employer, Sonny, who is a 20-something guy who is a patron of the arts, but his dad comes from a crime family, so it's over 500 pages, but it's already been chosen as a Good Morning America pick, I think. And it's also, more importantly to me, Roxane Gay's pick for January for her book club on the Audacity. So, I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. Take Roxane's.
Yeah, this book, I mean, it's been on all of the most anticipated lists for the year, for the month, for whatever the case is. Like, this book has been, like, right off the bat is one of the big buzzworthy titles. And I remember when our copies came in at the library, because I ordered a couple copies, and it came in, I went, oh, that's a doorstopper.
Mm-hmm. It's chunk. Like, it is, but it's in the best way, because sometimes I just want to settle in and stay with the same book for ages. And maybe I'm entering my large book era of my reading life after my villain era, perhaps. And so I feel like it works really well because you get to be with these characters for so long. And like Roxane Gay says in her review on Goodreads, like, it's a flawed book, but it's part of a trilogy. So she suspects that a lot of the questions she was left with will be answered in the next books.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I've been finishing books that I had picked up before and hadn't finished yet. And so that's been great. But I did just start the audio version of a true crime book that I talked about on this show, you know, several years ago when it first came out. It's Black Dahlia, Red Rose, The Crime, Corruption, and Cover-Up of America's Greatest Unsolved Murder by Pew Eatwell. And so it's obviously about the Black Dahlia murder. And basically, I was just looking for an audiobook because all of the ones, I put a bunch of holds on audiobooks through Libby at my library. And I was like, oh, what's available now? I need to listen to something. So this one was available. I am going to be traveling to Los Angeles, hopefully at the end of next month into March. And so a lot of my reading interests are kind of centered around Los Angeles at the moment. But I remembered reading this book and enjoying it. But it's about the Black Dahlia murder from 1947, but it's also about there have been all these theories about, okay, who actually murdered Elizabeth Short? And Pew Eatwell was actually she got access to a bunch of documents that had recently been declassified by the LAPD. And so she had access to information that was not available until the publication of this book. So she was able to sift through that information and come up with a very plausible theory of who done it, basically. But yeah, it's a really interesting historical true crime book. And yeah, so I'm not super far into the audio version, but it has been, it's been very entertaining to listen to as I drive home from work. But yeah, I was happy to find another audiobook to kind of fill that void while I'm waiting for some of my other titles to come in.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that moment when you're like, I need something to listen to while I wait for these other things to come in is like what's it called when the airplane circles the airport?
Like a holding pattern?
Thank you. Thank you. There we go. It's like a holding pattern. So I'm glad you're able to find something that worked.
An enjoyable holding pattern.
Yes.
All right. Well, before we jump into the rest of the episode, let's go ahead and take a pause for a minute and hear from our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Steve Aoki's HeroQuest at your local bookstore or online at HeroQuest.com, and catch Steve live on the Heavenly Hell Tour. HeroQuest is a graphic novel that is the story of a genetically augmented metahuman named Hero who travels into the multiverse 400 years into the future to save Earth from a disaster it cannot avoid. It has everything from mutants to robots to zombies to aliens, witches, and more. It's a quest for 10 rings of tremendous power from 10 different worlds that will be needed to save our world from certain disaster. It's an epic journey that will require the hero named Hiro to be cursed to save the lives of billions on Earth. It's a story of heroism, wonder, betrayal, and finally, revelation. This is the hero's journey. This is Hiro's quest. So the story was imagined by the mind of Steve Aoki and written by New York Times bestselling author Jim Kruger and Steve Aoki. So make sure to check it out. And this episode comes thanks again to Steve Aoki's HeroQuest at your local bookstore or online at HeroQuest.com, and catch Steve live on the Heavenly Hell Tour. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be, right? Right, girl, like we all know. So just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong got it going on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
All right, so if you are a longtime listener, welcome back. We are so excited to have you join us in a new year. If you are a new listener, welcome. We're delighted to have you. You picked a great episode to join us on. as Kendra mentioned before, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite or our most anticipated books for the year. But before we get into that, just real quickly, we on this show, we talk about mystery and suspense and true crime and just about everything that falls under that umbrella, which we've kind of already covered in the first like 10 minutes of the show. But this is also the part of the show where we always put out a call to our listeners to let us know if you have any suggestions for future topics for us to talk about. In future episodes, we really, really, really have relied on these suggestions that we've gotten from listeners over the last several years. These have really been great suggestions for us to help plan future episodes. It's a great way for us to know what you, the listeners, would like to hear more of. Great way for us to expand our own reading horizons. So whether it's author read-alikes or subgenres that we haven't explored a whole lot, or talking about a particular movie adaptation, or, you know, a piece of true crime news that's been in the headlines recently, or just a fun thought that popped into your head. If it's mysterious and suspenseful, it's probably fair game for us to talk about. So if you have any ideas or show suggestions, you can shoot us an email or reach out to us via social media. We're going to have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes. We just put out the call ahead of time to get those creative juices flowing while you listen. And even if you don't have an idea, but you just want to say hi, well, we love that as well. We love hearing from our listeners. So definitely send us an email if you feel so inclined. And if you enjoy this podcast, definitely leave us a review over at Apple Podcasts so that other people can find us. And with that, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of news happening in the last couple of weeks. There rarely is at the very tail end of the year. Although I will say just a quick shout out, if any of you have Netflix and have not yet watched Glass Onion, the second movie in the Knives Out universe, please do. It is fantastic. Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc is just amazing. Like, I did not have strong feelings about him either way as James Bond, but as Benoit Blanc, I will die for that man.
He is rather lovely, and I love the way that he does his accent, because it is slightly, like, it could be considered over the top, but it works for the genre of the movie that it is, and I don't know, I just really enjoy that.
Yeah, no, I loved Knives Out, and Glass Onion I had heard was really good, so I got to watch it a couple weeks ago with friends of ours, and it was just a delight. I loved it. It's a takedown of super rich culture and like tech bros and stuff, but it's also, you know, it inverts and really looks at mystery tropes. And Janelle Monáe in this movie,
yes.
Holy cow, she is gorgeous.
Stunning.
And she is amazing, and she just steals every scene that she's in. So,
yes,
there you go.
100%. Just, it was a very star-studded cast, and I really enjoyed it. I feel like they lean into, like, they're very self-aware with those movies, and they lean into the tropes, and they're not afraid to, like, be kitschy and over the top, and I don't know. It's definitely a good time.
Yep. Highly recommend watching it. And right now, everyone is putting out a call for Knives Out 3 to be Benoit Blanc with the Muppets.
Oh, my word. That would be amazing.
It really would. Like people I've seen to show up on Twitter and people are like, do it, you cowards.
I mean, you think about Muppets Christmas Carol, A Muppet's Treasure Island, two classics, best adaptions of those books, bar none. Like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, Daniel Craig could pull that off. No problem.
Yes.
It would be amazing. Someone even photoshopped the Muppets in front of him in his little, like, striped outfit with the ascot from Glass Onion. And I'm just like, it's perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, that's it.
Yes. Like, I feel like we need a good Muppets movie. It's been a long time since we had a good one. So, like, I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm. So, that's our news update. Glass Onion was awesome. Go watch it.
The end.
Yep, the end. Nothing more to say. So, in terms of most anticipated for 2023, I know when we've done this show in years past, we usually get most, if not all, of our suggestions from Crime Read's most anticipated list that they put out in early January. I don't know what's going on over at Crime Read's, but I have not seen a list And I really hope that they haven't done away with it for this year. And it's probably going to be published tomorrow after we finish recording this episode, because that's just how the universe works. But obviously, Crime Reads is not the only resource for finding books that are coming out this year. They just put together really good lists every year and make it really easy. So, unfortunately, we will not have that to link in the show notes for this episode, but if they do come out with it, we'll make sure to share that with everyone.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I always, with the beginning of a new year, I always love the promise of adding a gajillion new books to my TBR. And I had a lot of fun going through these. And I imagine you did too, because it's just an embarrassment of riches.
It really is. And I feel like I already had a lot of books I was very excited about. So I feel like my job was easier because I didn't see all of the books that Crime Reads would suggest, and I'm sure are excellent, and I'll be very excited to hear about them. But on my list already, I had so many, and I had to narrow it down. A lot of them are already favorite authors, but I wanted them to be genuinely the books that I'm most excited about for 2023 that are in the mystery thriller slash also horror category that we do here on the podcast. So a lot of great hits today.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and kick us off? Because I am also very excited about your first pick that you have on your list.
Yes. So my first pick is actually coming out today on January 10th as of this recording, and that is Bad Cree by Jessica Johns. Now, I do believe this is Jessica Johns' debut novel. So like that is really exciting that there's so much buzz around it. Here to support debut authors. But this book is about a Cree woman who wakes up with a severed crow's head in her hands, and she panics. And she had been waking up from a nightmare, wakes up, the nightmare seems to be true, and then all of a sudden the head disappears, and she doesn't really know what to make out with her life. Now, we've seen the scene before. Woman wakes up screaming from a nightmare, then the nightmare seems to be true. But there's something a little more sinister about this. Night after night, Mackenzie, our protagonist, has been dreaming about her sister Sabrina's death that happened. We don't know a ton about what was going on. I guess that's part of the plot twists that are going to come along the way. But she left her rural hometown in Alberta and went to the city to try to escape whatever happened. After these dreams start coming on more and more, she sees this crow head. She feels like she's being stalked by a murder of crows. Great name, of course, for a group of crows. And she has to go home and try to face her family's past. And I think, you know, we've seen a lot of great Indigenous horror novels coming out of North America, and it's just a stunning set of authors, and I'm so excited for Jessica for her book to come out, and man, high up on my list. What about have you heard of this book, right? I think we were just talking about how excited we were for this book.
Yeah, no, I was going to say this book has been on just about every most anticipated list that I've seen along with the other book that you mentioned. But yeah, no, I've been seeing this one everywhere. And so it's automatically like planted itself in my head. And we just got our copy today at the library. And I'm looking at it going like, I have to see if there are any holds on. If there aren't, I might have to snag it. But yeah, it's supposed to be just awesome. And it's always really exciting when a novel like this, especially a debut novel like this, is getting this much attention. So I'm really excited for this one.
And the cover also, is the top half is white and it has the title and the author's name in black. But the bottom half, oh my goodness, it's a photo taken as if you're lying on the ground looking up at the sky. And it's a red background with these black tree limbs coming up over your vision. And there's like a single crow like flying in the distance. And it's so sinister, so creepy. So kudos to the designer. But that is Bad Cree by Jessica Johns. And Katie, what's your first pick?
So this was one that I did not realize that this author had another book coming out, and I was very excited. So my first pick is All That Is Mine, I Carry With Me by William Landay. That comes out on March 7th. And I could be wrong. This may be the book that most people know William Landay for is Defending Jacob, which was published just over 10 years ago. This book I read a few years after it came out. I listened to it on audio. That book has stayed with me unlike anything, almost anything else I have ever read. It's a legal thriller. It's a family drama. And oh my gosh, the ending of that book is just going to rip your heart out. Oh my gosh. It's a master. It's just such a good book in terms of just how skillfully he plots it, but how he sets up the ending and how well he does the characters and the drama and the suspense. It's a perfect pick for book clubs. I still hand this book to patrons who haven't read it before. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to read it. So he has another book. He has this new book coming out, and it seems like it's hitting on a lot of the same points that I felt like he did so well with Defending Jacob. And I'm hoping that this does not set it up for expectations being too high, but I don't think so. So in this book, you have the Larkin family. You have 10-year-old Miranda, who comes home from school in November 1975. Her house is unusually eerily quiet, and she realizes that her mother is missing. There's no sign of a struggle. It just appears like her mom has just disappeared. And investigators, they suspect the father, the husband, because Dan Larkin, the husband, is a criminal defense attorney, so he would know all the things that he would have to do to outwit the police. But there's no evidence found linking him to a crime, and they don't really know what happened to their mother to begin with. And so the incident kind of fades from public memory, but the family is still left with what happened. There's a total of three children. So there's Miranda and then her brothers, Alex and Jeff. And they're living with their father, who may or may not have murdered their mother. And they don't know. And then, so you have that. And then 2 decades later, her remains are found. The investigation comes up again. And now the children, who are all grown, they're all adults now, they now have to re-grapple with this again and start to wonder, like, did their father have something to do with it? And this combination of, like, criminal investigation, legal thriller, but also family drama and just these questions of, you know, familial love and responsibility and, like, how far does your loyalty or your love for your family go? Like, it, oh my gosh, this just seems like such a perfect recipe for a really, really engaging book. And I am, because I order adult fiction at my library, I will put my name down for stuff, like first in line for holds, if a patron has not already requested the book, because I'm sorry, that's a small privilege I get for working at a library, and I'm 100% going to do it with this one. So, Kendra, did you read Defending Jacob by any chance?
No, I haven't read it yet.
Oh my gosh. It's so good. So first off, you got to read that. And then, yeah, so this one, like I said, it comes out in early March, March 7th, and this is... yeah, this is going to the top of my list, and I had no idea he was coming out with a new book until I started looking through some of these most anticipated lists. I saw it, and I was like, so excited. It's just a little treat. And again, that is All That Is Mine, I Carry With Me by William Landay. All right, and then before we jump to Kendra's next pick, let's go ahead and hear from our second sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Greenleaf Book Group. No summer vacation should be without a great read, and I don't know about you, but I am partial to mysteries and thrillers for my hot month reads. It's hot girl reading summer, always over here. And from the award-winning librettist of Legally Blonde, the musical, and the screenwriter of Freaky Friday, Heather Hawke, comes the page-turning psychological thriller, The Trouble with Drowning. So when author Eden Hart floats into Tucson's Antigone Books and all her dazzling perfection to give a reading, Kat, a struggling writer, can't help but compare herself. Thankfully, Kat's life starts to take on its own Eden-like glow when her literary future takes shape and she falls madly in love with Jacob. As demons from her past begin to surface, Kat's mental health craters and this halcyon dream slips through her fingers. For the fastest-paced, slow burn you won't be able to put down, be sure to check out The Trouble with Drowning by Heather Hawke on Amazon or your retailer of choice. And thanks again to Greenleaf Book Group for sponsoring this episode.
This episode is sponsored by The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy. Robbie and Trevor Cressmont have enough wealth to ensure they'll never be found guilty of any wrongdoing, even if everyone believes they're behind the deaths of their ex-girlfriends. Let us all take a collective angry sigh at that. Lauren O'Brien, the new girl at school, has a dark past of her own, and she's desperate for a fresh start. Except when she starts a relationship with Robbie, her chance is put in jeopardy. During what's meant to be their last weekend together, Lauren stumbles across evidence that might just implicate Robbie. And after a third death rocks the town, she must decide whether to end things with Robbie or risk becoming another cautionary tale. This is an edge-of-your-seat YA thriller that's perfect for fans of Karen McManus and Holly Jackson. Make sure you pick that up now wherever books are sold. And thank you once again to The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy for sponsoring today's show.
All right, take it away, Kendra.
Okay, so my next pick is All Sinners Bleed by S.A. Cosby. Now, you all know that I love S.A. Cosby. He and Attica Locke are neck and neck for my favorite Southern mystery novel writers. Thankfully, they write about completely different regions of the South. So that is delightful because we get a little bit of everything then. But this book is, I believe, his fourth mystery novel. And so I am here for it. So this time we're back again in the South, and a former FBI agent, Titus, he has kind of retired from the FBI to go home to Karen County, and he's back home and he's struggling to fit in. He's struggling to figure out what he wants to do. And he looks at the people around him, his community, and he sees that they're struggling with this bigoted police force. And he decides then to run for sheriff. And so then he wins and he becomes the first black sheriff in his county. And then a year after he becomes sheriff, a black man is fatally shot by Titus's deputies. That is really where everything takes off. And so he is a black sheriff in a southern town where, a lot of white guys will run around with the Confederate flag and all sorts of things. So it is a uniquely southern novel. And I think that some of our best writers are writing about the South, and they're doing such a great job of capturing the moment that we're in stories that are so rich and deep with character. And I think that this, writers like S.A. Cosby prove that mystery novels are truly the art that they are, just like a literary novel. And I just love that about his writing.
Yeah, he's such a fantastic writer, and every premise that comes up with for each of his books, it's a little different, but every one you just know it's going to have so much nuance and thought put into it. And yeah, I am super excited to see that he has a new book coming out. He's just, oh, he's fantastic.
He is. And I remember Pamela Paul, bless, from the New York Times Book Review interviewing him on the New York Times Book Review podcast when I think it was Razorblade Tears came out, and she was trying to understand Southern writing. And it was a very interesting conversation about him describing these incredible writers that are writing about the South and why that was so important and the writers that we're writing today. And he just had a lot of great things to say. If I can find it, I will link that interview in our show notes. But this is a writer that gets better with each novel. He's not satisfied just to rewrite the same one to recreate his past success. He wants to push the envelope and better his craft. And it's so good. He's so good. It does come out in June, on June 6th from Flatiron. And I'm so sad that it's so far away, but he's worth waiting for.
Yeah, and it'll give us time to read the rest of his books before this one comes out.
Yes, definitely worth it. And also, Adam Lazar White reads the audiobooks. And let me tell you, that man could read a grocery list and I would love it. Like, so good. So if you love audiobooks, it's perfect. Like, go forth. But that is All the Sinners Bleed by S.A. Cosby.
All right. So my second pick is Red London by Alma Katsu, which comes out on March 14th. And of course, I've talked about Alma Katsu so much on this show, but I wanted specifically to mention this book because last year I read her first spy novel, espionage novel, Red Widow, which was just blew me away in terms of how much I enjoyed it. And I say this every time, I'm not usually into spy espionage novels. It's not a subject that usually interests me. But she does such a knockout job with the book. And I didn't realize until long after I had read it that she has several decades worth of experience in the intelligence community. And I'm like, oh, that's why it was so good. And it felt so grounded and just rooted in reality. I'm like, because it was. Because she did this for like 30 years. So yeah, when I found out that there was going to be a second book in the Red Widow series, I automatically was like, oh, yay! Like I said, I don't usually get excited about espionage novels. But so this book follows, if you read the first one, you know, Lindsay Duncan is one of the main characters, the main character, even though in the previous book it went back and forth between a couple. But this takes place shortly after the events of Red Widow. So just based on what I have read with the synopsis for Red London, you will definitely want to read Red Widow first, so you have an understanding of where everything is, because some of the things that happened at the end of the first book carry over into this one. But basically, Lindsay Duncan has arrived in London from the States, and she has been tasked with keeping tabs on her newest Russian asset from the previous book. And she arrives in London all set, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But then her counterpart in MI6, he calls for her and says that, hey, I've got a new job that I need your help with. And she is supposed to become friends and try to glean information from this woman named Emily, who is the British wife of a billionaire who is originally from Russia, named Mikhail. And so Lindsay has to try and, you know, make friends with Emily to see what information she can get about Emily's husband and his relationship with the new Russian president, who the CIA and MI6 believe is responsible for the sudden mysterious disappearance of his predecessor. And so Lindsay was like, okay, yeah, this shouldn't be that difficult. Emily, they've recently had there's an attack on their home recently, and she's really freaked out. So she's excited to have, you know, a friend to talk to. But obviously the plot thickens. And then the CIA uncovers other things that might be going on, and Lindsay's responsibilities and her tasks become all of a sudden much more high stakes and much, much, much more difficult. So this book just feels like it has all of the, it has the nuance, the understanding of like global politics, which again, not usually my strong area, but Alma Katsu just brought so much knowledge to that first book. And sometimes I think it can be difficult when you have an author who clearly either A, knows the subject really well, or B, did a ton of research beforehand. And sometimes it can feel like this information that they have is just kind of shoehorned into the plot and it just doesn't really fit. Alma Katsu just made it so seamless. And I'm really excited for this type of book. And I'm just really excited for what sounds to be and just a thoughtful, suspenseful, really, really, really intelligent read. And leading up to this book and then after it comes out, I am going to be pushing Red Window into a bunch of people's hands because it is so, so good. And Kendra, I think I talked about this book before you came on the show. Have you happened to read Red Widow yet?
I have not. And I am with you on that. I'm not really into spy novels, but I feel like, you know, I'm always up for venturing and trying something again. So I feel like that would be the book I would be good to pick up.
I listened to it on audio and it was fantastic.
That sounds good to me.
Yep. So yeah, it was, I really enjoyed it. I listened, I had a lot of fun listening to this one on my way to and from work. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's like someone's not usually a reader of a particular subgenre. All of a sudden they go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You can put some weight on that. So, but again, the second book in the Red Widow series is called Red London by Alma Katsu, and that is out on March 14th.
And my last pick of today is actually coming out in July. Oh my goodness, it's so far away. I know it'll happen in a blink of an eye, but I'm excited for The Mistress of Batia House by Sujata Massey. Would it be a Red or Dead episode if we didn't talk about Sujata Massey? No, we're not. This is the fourth book in her Pervine Mystery series. So if you are new here, welcome. We love Pervine Mystery. She is the only female lawyer in Bombay in India in 1922. And there she is a solicitor, as they say, because, you know, different countries, different roles in law, etc. Anyway, important thing here, Pervine Mystery finds herself in a unique position where a lot of times she goes in and as a woman, she's able to talk to women in a way that is appropriate, while a male solicitor would not be allowed to talk to these women in certain cases, like in her first novel, The Widows of Malabar Hill. In this one, I'm trying to read this without giving some spoilers for the previous novel, but she apparently is attending a lavish fundraiser for a new women's hospital specializing in maternal health issues when she witnesses an accident. And that really sets off this series of events where she finds herself once again embroiled at the center of controversy in the city. And at this time, it was before India had independence, right? So we're still a couple of decades away from that. So we still have, you know, British colonialism and a lot of the protests against that. So there's a lot of politics, obviously a lot of things around gender and culture. I'm so excited. I can't even pronounce words. But one of the things I think is really great about this novel is that we here often feature a lot of books that are horror or thrillers. But if you're on the more cozy mystery side of the spectrum, this is a book for you. It's a fantastic historical mystery. Sujata Massey only comes out with a book every 2 to 3 years because she does so much research. And I really appreciate her going to that length. It's also from an indie press. So if you want to support an indie press, Soho Press, definitely pick up this book.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add. I mean, I love Sujata Massey. And again, I'm usually the dark, demented, and disturbing one on the podcast. And I just love this series. So again, go take that to the bank.
Yeah.
It's going to be the title of this episode. But they're so good. So, so good. And they make, like, we talked about her for, you know, if you're looking for a gift suggestion, like, her books can appeal to such a wide range of readers, and they're so well done. And I love the character of Pervine Mystery. She's a really good character without being like annoying.
Yeah.
Like kind of Pollyanna like.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I have to say because I've already just gone on and on about how much I love this series, so I will cut myself off.
And I think one of the things is that this book is so, like you said, loved by people who love a wide range of genres. And when I worked at Reading Women, we had a like little Etsy store where you could request like books recommended for someone else, and like sort of like TBR, but on a smaller scale. And I kid you not, The Widows of Malabar Hill was one of the most books that people loved from me just sending them out. I would buy them in stacks, and it was just really lovely to introduce so many people to Purveen Mystery. I was able to talk to her, and she's so lovely to chat with, so I will include that interview down below as well for people to enjoy. But yes, sorry, I'll quit gushing. That is The Mistress of Bhatia House by Sujata Massey. And Katie, you have our last pick of the day.
Yes, and I realized that A, all three of my picks come from authors who I've already read stuff by them, which is cool. But I also really was trying to find books that are getting me to step outside the horror, psychological suspense crossover little subgenre that I've been very comfortably residing in for a while. reading has been hard lately, and I've just been finding the books that really just resonate with me, and which is great. But then it's also like that's kind of all I've been talking about. So I'm trying to find some new ones, different flavors to try in the year of 2023, which will hopefully have a little bit more energy for reading outside of my usual favorites. But my last book that I picked is Sing Her Down by Ivy Pachoda, and I read Ivy Pachoda's book, These Women, last year, the year before. No, it was a little bit longer than that. But that book was amazing. It was just a connection. It was like these multiple characters. You get their stories that are loosely connected, and then as you get through the book, they become more and more connected. There's someone who's killing sex workers in LA, and you get the perspective from one of the victims and then the other people in her life, and you slowly kind of put the picture together of who these women were, but who also is doing the killings. And it's just a really strong female-oriented feminist type of story, and I just really loved it. And this book is described as No Country for Old Men meets Killing Eve. And while I'm not usually a Western fan, I am 100% a Killing Eve fan. And so I was like, okay, you had me there. And you have these two women who are being kept in the Arizona women's prison. You have Florida Baum and Dio Sandoval. And they are, it sounds like that they were at one point cellmates, but not anymore. And Florida claims that she tells everyone that she's innocent. She doesn't deserve to be in prison, but Dios actually knows the truth and is like, you are far from innocent. And Dios knows that, basically she knows what Florida is capable of. And she really wants, she wants to basically open Florida's eyes and be like, hey, you've got this darkness inside you. You need to be aware of it and like embrace it. And then all of a sudden, these women are unexpectedly granted their freedom. And so Dios just develops this obsession, this fixation on Florida. And it turns into this kind of cat and mouse game. And if you've seen Killing Eve, you know, you're picking up on those strong elements. And they go from Arizona to LA. And again, because I am hoping to be traveling out to LA for the first time in my life at the end of February, I'm kind of in that kind of mindset right now. And yeah, this one sounds really, really interesting. It's definitely outside of the types of books I've been picking up recently. It's from an author who I already know has written just a really outstanding feminist crime novel. And I'm really excited for this one. I'm going to throw it to you, Kendra. Like, have you read any of Ivy Pachoda's stuff? Have you, like...
I haven't. I feel like this is a whole new world, like, today. So I'm just having... I have little note cards when we record, and I just fill them with titles to put on my TBR. So I, listener, am here with you.
just discovering new stuff all the time. But yeah, that, again, just real quickly, that is Sing Her Down by Ivy Pechota, which is No Country for Old Men meets Killing Eve, and I am here for it.
Well, those are our books for today. We don't have any new titles because all of these are new titles. Is there anything else you wanted to cover before we roll it out?
Well, I did cheat and pick a fourth book, but it's an honorable mention. Not much I need to say. It's Riley Sager has a new book coming out this summer. I have to mention it. It's not a year without a Riley Sager book.
It's true.
And I just finished reading, like a few days ago, I just finished reading The House Across the Lake, which was his most recent one, and I really liked it. And so his new one is coming out on June 20th. It's called The Only One Left. It's billed as a gothic horror. Had to put one in there. And it is drawing heavily on the history and crimes of Lizzie Borden. So wow. I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm like, there you go.
I love how he does something different. Like, he takes on a different type of thriller horror book with each story that he writes. So, here for that.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be gothic horror, but then I looked up the synopsis today, and they're like, and it's mentioned Lizzie Borden. I'm like, well, there we go. I'm going to read it.
And I will just mention that Cherie Dimeline and Stephen Graham Jones also have new books coming out. I believe both of those are coming out in February, I think, as of right now. That could, of course, change. And all the dates we mentioned today could, of course, change. But it's going to be a good year.
I'm feeling good about it.
Right? So many great ones. Stephen Graham Jones' book arrived today. He did a little happy dance. So he's one of my favorite authors now. So any book that he writes, I will read. Well, that's our show, friends. Thanks so much to everyone for listening. And of course, many, many heartfelt thanks to our sound editor, Jen Zink, who always makes us sound great. For show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. For more book recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. If you want to send us an email with feedback or show suggestions, you can reach us at writerdead@bookriot.com. In the meantime, you can find me, Kendra, on Twitter and Instagram at KD Winchester. And you can find Katie on Twitter at KT_library lady. Again, those sound somewhat similar in the beginning, so they will be linked in our show notes. And we will talk to y'all next time.
Bye.